Chapter 17, Uncle. When they pulled into the fairgrounds, they could hear the music and see the Ferris wheel turning in the sky. They could smell the dust of the racetrack where the sprinkler car had moistened it, and they could smell hamburgers frying and see balloons aloft. They could hear the sheep batting in their pens. An enormous voice over the loudspeaker said, "Attention, please. Will the owner of a Pontiac car, license number 82439, please move your car away from the fireworks shed?" "Can I have some money?" asked Fern. "Can I, too?" asked Avery. "I'm going to win a doll by spinning a wheel, and it will stop at the right number," said Fern. "I'm going to steer a jet plane and make it bump into one another." "Can I have a balloon?" asked Fern. "Can I have a frozen custard and a cheeseburger and some raspberry soda pop?" asked Avery. "You children, be quiet till we get the pig unloaded," said Mr. Arbel. "Let's get the children off by themselves," suggested Mrs. Arbel. "The fair only comes once a year." Mr. Arbel gave Fern 2 quarters and 2 dimes. He gave Avery 5 dimes and 4 nickels. "Now run along," he said, "and remember, the money has to last all day. Don't spend it on the first few minutes. And be back at the truck at noontime, so that we can have lunch together. And don't eat a lot of stuff that's going to make your stomach sick. And if you go in those swings," Mrs. Arbel said, "hang on tight. Hang on very tight, hear me? And don't get lost," Mrs. Zuckerman said. "And don't get dirty." "Don't get overheated," said their mother. "Watch out for pickpockets," cautioned their father. "And don't cross the racetrack when the horses are coming," said Mrs. Zuckerman. The children grabbed each other by their hand and danced off in the direction of the merry-go-round, toward the wonderful music and the wonderful adventure and the wonderful excitement, into the wonderful midway where there were no parents to guard them and guide them, and they would be happy and free to do as they pleased. Mrs. Arbel stood quietly and watched them go. Then she sighed. Then she blew her nose. "Do you really think it's all right?" she asked. "Well, they've got to grow up sometimes," said Mr. Arbel, "and a fair is a good place to start, I guess." While Wilbur was being unloaded and taken out of his crate and into the new pig pen, crowds gathered to watch. They started at the sign, "Zuckerman's Famous Pig." Wilbur stared back, and tried to look extra good. He was pleased with his new home. The pen was grassy, and it was shaded by the sun by a shed roof. Charlotte, watching her chance, scrambled out of the crate and climbed a post to the underside of the roof. Nobody noticed her. Templeton, not wishing to come out in the broad daylight, stayed quietly under the straw at the bottom of the crate. Mr. Zuckerman poured some skim milk into Wilbur's trough, pitched clean straw into his pen, and then Mrs. Zuckerman and the Arbels walked away toward the cattle barn to look at purebred cows and to see the sights. Mr. Zuckerman particularly wanted to see tractors, and Mrs. Zuckerman wanted to see a deep freeze. Larvey wandered off by himself, hoping to meet friends and have some fun on the midday. As soon as the people were gone, Charlotte spoke to Wilbur. "It's a good thing I can't see," she said. "What do you see?" asked Wilbur. "There's a pig in the next pen, and he's enormous. I'm afraid he's much bigger than you are. Maybe he's older than I am, and maybe he had more time to grow," suggested Wilbur. Tears began to come to his eyes. I'll drop down and have a closer look, said Charlotte. Then she crawled along a beam till she was directly over the next pen. She let herself down on a drag line until she hung in the air just in front of the pig's big snout. May I have your name? She asked politely. The pig stared at her. No name, he said in a big, hearty voice. Just call me Uncle. Very well, Uncle, said replied Charlotte. What is the date of your birth? Are you a spring pig?
Sure I'm a spring pig, replied Uncle. What did you think I was, a spring chicken?
Ha, ha, ha. That's a good one, eh, sister?
Mildly funny, said Charlotte. I've heard funnier ones, though. Glad to have met you, and now I must be going.
She ascended quickly and returned to Wilbur's pen. He claims he is a spring pig, reported Charlotte, and perhaps he is. One thing is certain, he has a most unattractive personality. He is too familiar, too nosy, and he cracks really weird jokes. Also, he's not anywhere near as clean as you are, nor as pleasant. I took quite a dislike to him in our brief interview. He's going to be a hard pig to beat, though, Wilbur, on account of his size and weight. But with me helping you, it can be done.
When are you going to spin a web? Asked Wilbur.
Late this afternoon, if I am not too tired, she said. Charlotte said, at least the least thing tires me these days. I don't seem to have any energy I once had. My age, I guess. Wilbur looked at his friend. She looked rather swollen and seemed listless.
I'm awfully sorry to hear that you're feeling poorly, Charlotte, he said. Perhaps if you spin a web and catch a couple of flies, you will feel much better.
Perhaps, she said wearily, but I feel like the end of a long day. Clinging upside down to the ceiling, she settled down for a nap, leaving Wilbur very, very worried. All morning, people wandered past Wilbur's pen. Dozens and dozens of strangers stopped to stare at him and to admire his silky white coat and his curly tail, his kind and radiant expression. Then they would move on to the next pen, where the bigger pig lay. Wilbur heard several people make unfavorable remarks about Uncle's great size. He couldn't help but overhearing these remarks, and he couldn't help worrying. And now, with Charlotte not feeling well, he thought, oh dear. All morning, Templeton sat quietly under the straw. The day grew fiercely hot. At noon, the Zuckermans and the Airbulls returned to the pig pen. Then, a few minutes later, Fern and Avery showed up. Fern had a monkey doll in her arms and was eating Cracker Jacks. Avery had a balloon tied to his ear and had a chewy candied apple. The children were very hot and dirty.
Isn't it hot? Mrs. Zuckerman said.
It's terribly hot, said Mr. Arable, fanning herself. Mrs. Arable, fanning herself with an advertisement of a deep freeze. One by one, they climbed into the truck and opened their lunch boxes. The sun beat down on everything. Nobody seemed very hungry. When the judges were about to decide about Wilbur, Mrs. Zuckerman said, "Not till tomorrow," said Mr. Zuckerman. Larvie appeared carrying an Indian blanket that he had just won. And that's just what we need, said Avery, a blanket.
Of course it is, replied Larvie.
And he spread the blanket across the sideboards of the truck so that it was like a little tent. The children sat in the shade under the blanket and felt better.
After lunch, they stretched out and fell asleep.